is a regular planning board meeting, January 14th, 2026. This meeting's been advertised pursuant to law 231, also known as the Open Public Meeting Act. And can I go to a flag salute?
They moved it.
That's right, they moved it.
Hello, New Year.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can we get a roll call, please?
Mr. Adams?
Here.
Mr. Allegretto?
Here.
Mr. Barnes?
Here.
Mr. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Birch?
Here.
Mrs. Halliday?
Here.
Mr. Jessel?
Here.
Mr. Loper?
Here.
Mr. Shepherd? Mr. Stell?
Here.
Dr. Vandeshore? Electronic devices.
Yeah, anybody that has electronic devices, please put them on mute because all this stuff is fairly sensitive and it's a recorded session. Everybody will have an opportunity to speak if you've never been here before. And number one on the agenda is the subcommittee assignments. I'd like to keep them the same, but if there's anybody that wants to step into a subcommittee, get in touch with me. We might be able to arrange it another way.
Site subcommittee is Adams, Shepherd, Halliday, and me. And I don't know who's the ordinance subcommittee. That I don't know.
Yeah. And then the annual meeting schedule has been posted in last week's packet. So everybody has that, but I'd like a motion to accept that.
So moved, Jeff.
Second, Birch.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And moving forward into the agenda, first thing on the agenda is PBA 25-004, Carl Sands Motel, LLC, 709 9th Street, Block 803, Lot 9, Hospitality Zone. And that...
Do you want Mr. Griffith?
Do you want to talk to that?
Or do you want us to do it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that is not going to be heard tonight because there was a failure in notice. So it wasn't noticed in the proper time. And that will be put on. We don't know.
They have to re-notice and re-advertise.
They just have to re-notice, re-advertise it. You'll all see the ad if you're here for that. So moving forward, we're in the number three already. PBA 25-008, V2 Properties.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be excusing myself for that one.
Okay.
I will as well.
Okay.
Everybody keep your Coral Sands packets, please.
Okay.
Yes, me as well.
Okay, thank you. The people that are stepping down have a conflict of interest for one reason or another, and that's why they're stepping down, just for the public's knowledge. So we're at Block 3404, Lot 7. Gateway Zone, and it's Avery Teitler in front of us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Avery Teitler here on behalf of the applicant. As you mentioned, this is the application of V2 Properties on 67. That LLC is the owner of the property, which you just mentioned. The property is a quarter lot, measuring 100 feet by 100 feet. The property is located in the Gateway Zone and is a vacant parcel of land. As the board may recall, the applicant before this board in May of 2025 seeking to subdivide the lot and create two mixed-use buildings on the property. The application was denied, and based upon the feedback at that hearing, the applicant's here tonight with a redesigned plan seeking approval to construct one new three-story mixed-use building. We'll have two commercial units on an elevated first level and five residential units on the second and third floors of the building. The commercial units will consist of approximately 2,900 square feet with an entryway. The residential units will range in square footage from approximately 1,300 square feet to 2,300 square feet. In addition to site plan approval and conditional use variance relief for the project, the applicant requires variance relief for commercial ceiling height, building height, total stories, maximum landing size, front yard setback to two parking spaces only, not for the building, and a lack of truck berth. The proposed building will conform with all other bulk requirements for the zone. In fact, the testimony and evidence will indicate that the proposed building will be well below the maximum threshold for building coverage. produce a fully conforming number of parking spaces for both the residential use and the commercial use. The requested variance has been granted under the C2 standard as several purposes of zoning will be met. The new building will satisfy the purpose of the gateway zone by promoting and reinforcing a positive business climate, enhancing and strengthening the aesthetic appearance, character, vitality, and overall identity of the business corridor, creating a buffer to the surrounding residential zones, and improving physical function and operational efficiency of the corridor, including traffic calming by producing fully conforming parking and access to the building through the alley. Positive aspects granted this application are the negative aspects. As a result, testimony evidence will demonstrate that there's a substantial detriment to the public good. Granting the variance is not substantially impair the intent or purpose of the zone plan or zoning ordinance. The applicant's first witness tonight is project architect Andrew Beckel.
Good evening, Mr. Beckel. It's a testimony that you're about to give this evening. The truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
It is.
And Mr. Beckel has been in front of us on many occasions. We are familiar with his credentials, and he may proceed.
I just want to put a place on the record that Mr. Beckel, in addition to being an architect, is also a licensed professional planner, and the board has accepted him in that capacity as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Beckel, can you provide the board with the application?
Yes. As you stated, this is a building that would be proposed to be built in the gateway zone. It has a ground level that is parking, another level that has commercial, and then two levels of residential use. We plan to conform to all bulk standards as far as setbacks are concerned, coverages, and impervious coverage. Access to the lot is through the back, through the alley. By doing this, we're eliminating two curb cuts, one that's on 34th Street, and actually one that's on West Avenue. Parking for the entire building is through a driveway where there's no backing out onto the alley. Everything's headlights first out and in. All parking for the commercial is single loaded. That's along the south side. All parking for the residential is in some cases single loaded, but no more than double loaded. It is not inside a garage. It is all open air. So there's no secret storage rooms or anything like that. All the parking is on the north side for the residential use.
Let's go through the variances, and despite what is on the agenda and what we're hearing, we do not need a plethora of variances to get this approved. In fact, you don't need a side yard setback variance or number of parking spaces, as I mentioned, correct?
Correct. The side yard setback variance was because we have a deck on the side of the building that had air conditioners on them. The air conditioners were not allowed to go into that side yard, so the air conditioners were moved back on the deck. The deck is a permitted encroachment. And then as far as the parking is concerned, basically you need 9 parking spaces. We provide 8 physical parking spaces along the south side, but we also provide EV parking. So EV parking space by state law is a 2 parking space because we have EV parking.
Let's go through the variance we actually need. We need a variance relief for commercial ceiling height for the commercial unit. Is that correct?
Yes. Commercial ceiling height should be 10 feet. We're 9 foot 6 inches.
So up by 6 inches.
6 inches.
All right. Building height. We need a building height variance for 2.92 feet. Is that correct?
Yes. 2 foot 11 inches. That is correct.
All right. Total stories?
Total stories. Yes. The zone calls out for 2.5 total stories. We are 4 stories, but the 1 story is all parking and below base flood elevation. So from a zoning perspective, normally that's not even considered a story, but yes, there's 4 levels in the building.
Okay. And we're going to go into that a little bit more in depth in a minute. Maximum landing size?
Yes, the landing size is actually on West Avenue. Landing size is only supposed to be 36 square feet, but larger than that because it's a large commercial structure. When we've done triplexes and other commercial buildings, we've always had landings larger than 36 square feet. There happens to be a landing here on West Avenue. Again, we believe most of the pedestrian traffic will be coming, and that landing is larger than 36.
That's a common variance that's granted on almost every commercial structure.
Commercial and triplex structure, typically, that has a stair going to the upper level. Yes.
All right. And we have 2 parking spaces, which I'm asking you to show the board, that encroach into the front yard setback. These are just parking spaces. It's not part of the building. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. Those parking spaces are the 2 closest to West Avenue. The one on the south side, the accessible parking space to the actual placement of where the vehicle will be is 9 feet. And the the accessible aisle for that vehicle is going to be 1 foot off the front yard line. But that, again, is going to be a striped area where no car is parking. The other parking space is the other one that's also on West Avenue for the residential side. That is approximately 6 feet back from the front property line and is mostly screened by the screening underneath the landing as well. So it's fairly much out of view, and it's, again, 6 feet to that and basically entirely screened on that side.
All right. So those are what I would consider the major variance forms of relief that we need. We do need three other what I would consider waivers, even though they were called out as variances. I'm going to run through them quickly. We don't have a truck berth, is that correct?
We do not have a truck berth.
Okay. Signs above the commercial facade?
Yes, we have signs that extend above the commercial facade.
And we also don't have a trash enclosure curb.
We do not have a trash enclosure curb, no.
If any of those things are offensive, we can certainly add truck berth, we can certainly remove the signs, we can put a curb.
Well, the truck berth would be a little different.
Okay, but those are what I would consider design waivers, even though they're called as variance. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it would be.
All right. I want you to go into the reason for the building height a little bit and describe for the board the rationale for that.
This is actually an exhibit.
We have to mark this as an exhibit.
This exhibit is basically a height and bulk variance comparison chart for our proposed project. This is being compared to 601 Asbury Avenue, which we've compared to before with other buildings that have had interesting heights, being compared to 3301 Bay Avenue, the most recent multi-building in this area, in the vicinity. But more importantly, it's also comparing Randazzo's Pizza and the George's Building, which are basically the two most recent mixed-use buildings in this zone.
So I want to stop you for a second. You say the George Building, the address for that is 3301 Asbury Avenue, is that correct?
That is the 3401,
sorry.
Those are the two most recent built structures in the Gateway Zone. Randazzo's was completed in 2007, and the George's Building was completed in like 2016. In both cases, both structures on those two corners, 7,000 square foot lot, ask for height variance, ask for total story variance, ask for parking variance, parking setback variance, front yard, side yard, rear yard, impervious coverage, glass percentage, and the list goes on and on. They asked for probably, it was more like, what variances weren't you asking for? But I want to note that they did ask for height and stories. The Randazzo building is approximately 6 inches smaller than what we're asking for, and the George's building is approximately 4 inches taller than what we're asking for. And again, in both cases, the stories were also considered as well. Again, three stories. Those buildings, the Randazzo building, had zero parking for commercial, had a total of 8 parking spaces for 4 residential units above Randazzo's. The George's building had 3 units and only had 7 parking spaces. 6 for commercial, 6 for residential, and 1 for commercial. So multi-use buildings in this zone have asked for way more variances than we're even thinking about doing. Front yard setbacks 4 feet, rear yard setbacks somewhere in the 8 foot realm. These were large buildings, and in the case of the Randazzo building, 99% impervious coverage.
The height though, the rationale for the height is to generate enough parking on site underneath our buildings. We have conforming parking. Would that be fair to say?
In our case, we are using that to provide parking. These other buildings did not have parking underneath commercial. They had commercial and they jammed a couple of spots in the back for residential. We're asking for a height variance less than a building that had been granted that same height variance, and we're providing 21 parking spaces underneath the building. We combine for more than both of those buildings combined in parking. So from a parking perspective, we have filled that. We're not even asking for the variance. The one building actually asked for parking size variance as well, 8 foot 9 inches by 18 feet. So they asked for everything under the sun for those buildings when they were doing that. We are trying to do a building that is certainly more compliant, and if we're asking for a height variance and a stories variance, we're doing it so we can get the parking, we can get it off the street.
So, to sum up, the building height variance is to create parking on site underneath the building number one, and also to create a building that's what I would say harmonious with other buildings in the area, including these two that you just mentioned that are literally across the street, across West Avenue, and then also across 34th Street.
From a perspective of height, like as far as stories is concerned, you know, you can try to jam in as many stories as you want, but from a height perspective, it is no taller than those two buildings. So to give you a point of reference, that's it. Those are the only multifamily mixed-use structures that have been built in the Gateway Zone. They're the only ones. And this combines it. Funny enough, both of those are also immediately next to residential buildings, duplexes or single families. Again, same with us, having the same kind of comparison. The difference for us is we're 10 feet away from them. We're holding a larger side yard setback. They were holding a 4-foot setback or almost a zero setback. We are further away from our neighbors. We're further away from the alley. We're providing more parking. We're not creating a large curb cut along the alley like these other projects has had. We have a single 24-foot wide drive-aisle into our parking lot, providing 21 off-street parking spaces underneath the structure.
The rationale you just gave for the building height variance, would the same apply for the total stories variance? Again, we're trying to get conforming parking. Again, we're trying to create a building that looks very harmonious and similar to other structures that are mixed use in the area, the Gateway Zone.
Yes, but it's a little bit more than that. The commercial spaces, as you move towards the beach, the island rises. So you actually have a little bit more elevation. We're in a lower section of the island. Our garage is around like 4.3, 4.5 as far as elevation from sea level. So it's the perfect location to put vehicles that can roll off the island, because I can't roll the building off the island, I can roll cars off the island. But this allows me to have parking, which is normally a problem, flooding, which is normally a problem. I can lift that. My commercial space doesn't need any floodgates, and I have all the parking I ever wanted to have underneath this building. That is absolutely why it makes sense to have the additional story on this building.
All right. And you brought in the comparison of the CB building that's at 601 Asbury. The CB1 zone allows for buildings that are taller than the overbuilt.
Yes.
Is that correct?
And it's based off of how tall you make your commercial space. But again, this building will still be 3 foot, 4 inches approximately smaller than the 601 Asbury Avenue building, which is just down the way. I think that's important to this zone, because I think the commercial is an important aspect of it, and so is the residential. But in these areas, especially as you move west down 34th Street, something like this where there's parking underneath. In fact, I know the redevelopment plan that's being proposed where the seat spray is provided. They're lifting the whole building up, parking underneath, and throwing 3 stories plus a 4th story to get to a rooftop deck, and it's going to be tens of feet taller than this building. So again, from a height perspective, from a relationship to neighbor perspective, this building is no different than those mixed-use structures that have been built in the area, and smaller than the proposed residential use that's going to be built just down the block.
All right.
One other thing, too, though. From a scale size, another thing to consider. This building is on a 10,000-square-foot lot. The buildings for Randazzo's and George's, those structures are approximately 285 square feet smaller than what we're proposing. And we have 3,000 more square feet. So it's about the size of a big one-car garage. So we're adding less than 10% to our building when we've added 3,000 square feet more to the lot. So it is a very de minimis amount of space. And we're providing, again, a 20-foot rear yard setback off the out, a 10-foot setback off of our southerly neighbor, a 13-foot setback off of 34th Street, and a 10-foot setback to the building off of West Avenue.
Let's go through some of the other forms of relief that we need here. We need a conditional use variance, is that correct?
Yes.
That's for the residential units?
Correct.
And they're permitted conditionally in the Gateway Zone?
Yes.
We comply with all the conditions so that they're conditionally approved, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes. All right. You mentioned this, I mentioned this, I think it bears repeating. The building that you've designed, it's not even close. It's well below the maximum threshold for building coverage. Is that correct?
Yes, it's about 52%, where 80% is allowed.
28%, that's significant.
Significant.
All right. And we're slightly under for impervious coverage. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. But the very interesting thing here that it's kind of strange and different, too, is this building has no pervious papers. We're not even using the pervious paper trick. In fact, if the board absolutely wants us to lose more impervious, we could probably lose about 1,000 square feet more, believe it or not, if we wanted to. We decided to do it with concrete because concrete's going to hold up a little bit better. But there's no tricks here. It's all You know, there's no magic bullet, pervious paper thing. It's all compliant based as it is with actual concrete.
All right. You've mentioned this already, but again, it bears repeating. We're not creating any additional curb cuts. There's two curb cuts that are present on site that we are going to be removing.
Yes.
So on West Avenue especially, we're going to be creating more on-street parking.
You have an additional parking space on West Avenue. It's approximately mid-block on the on West Avenue.
And getting rid of a dangerous, potentially dangerous situation where we're moving the curb cut off 34th Street.
Absolutely, yes.
And you mentioned the commercial parking. We're fully conforming for the residential parking, like 12 parking spaces.
Yes, we have 12 parking spaces.
And these are lawful parking spaces.
Lawful parking spaces, same sizes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I have in my notes to go a little bit more into the Nick George building at 3401 Asper, but I think you've really delved into that a lot. It's in your exhibit, and you've compared our project to that building.
Correct. Size-wise, it is 285 square feet larger, but with a heck of a lot less variances, and actually it's smaller in height. It's about 4 inches smaller in height than that building.
By my count, they needed 12 variances there, is that correct?
12 at the time. I mean, rules change and interpretations change. I would estimate they would have needed a heck of a lot more than that.
Okay. The plan that you've drawn here tonight, this is in response to feedback that we've gotten in response to the prior subdivision application. I think the goal here was to keep the lot, obviously one lot, larger lot, which matches up with other lots in the general area, including the two lots that you mentioned, the Randazzo's lot and also the George lot, correct?
Yes.
And then another byproduct of having the larger lot and the mixed-use building is we actually have less bedrooms than the prior application. Is that true?
Yes. The other application had a 60-foot corner and a 40-foot interior. The 60-foot corner had 2 6-bedroom units. And the interior had 2 5-bedroom units. That's 22 bedrooms. We are proposing 17 bedrooms, so reducing the bedroom count by 5. It also had 12 off-street parking spaces for 22 bedrooms. We have 12 off-street parking spaces for 17.
You mentioned the fact that the parking is screened in, so it's not going to be visible from 34th Street.
It's primarily screened in from the 34th Street corridor and most of West Avenue. I do have this rendering.
This is going to be A2.
Yep.
Yeah, what's A1? It's a comparison.
And
the other A1 will be the comparison sheet.
And then A2.
A2 will be the rendering on West on the 34th Street. Elevation.
Thank you.
One of the other things we also try to do with this design is we went with a mansard roof. That's a roof that you would typically see in like a lot of European countries do it. It's to make the scale of the building look small. So we are trying to show this as basically a two-story building that has this roofed structure, kind of like how the Scarborough has a little bit of that on it as well, where they have very high roofs on the top floor to kind of mask, make it feel like, oh, that's a big roof up there, as opposed to 3 full floors over a parking area. It's to kind of reduce the mass of the building. That we purposely did that to, again, reduce mass. It's a different texture that's going to be up there. It's going to be more of a roofing material up there as well. So again, it's going to make it look, we believe, much smaller than the size that it is.
Back to the parking, it's evident from the rendering, but there's not going to be any parking off of 34th Street. There's not going to be front-loaded parking in the sense that you're going to see it from anywhere. So the parking's going to be hidden underneath the building, correct?
Correct.
All right. In your professional opinion, can the requested variances be granted under the C2 standard?
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the purpose of zoning that are being met under municipal land use law. First and foremost, you're constructing a building that meets the spirit and intent of the Gateway Zone.
Yes, we believe so.
If you're familiar with the purpose of the Gateway Zone, I've cited it in my opening statement, and you and I have talked about it, and you feel that this building and this project satisfies that spirit of intent?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. We are keeping this size building, which is consistent with other mixed-use developments in the Gateway Zone. You just testified about, too, the Randazzo's project and then also the Nick George project. Would it be your testimony that this building is comparable in size and scale of those two buildings?
Technically, no. It's actually smaller. I mean, for the size of the lot, the building should actually be bigger. We should have been asking for more variances. But from a scale perspective, the building is very similar in scale to those buildings. So it is comparable in that regard, but it does not ask for nearly as many variances. It does not consume the lot like the other two buildings did. It is respectful of those buildings, but it is but it is a heck of a lot more conforming to the regulations that we've got.
That's an excellent point. We're raising the commercial units out of the floodplain.
Yes.
They're not at grade, they're raised, they're elevated above, correct?
Yes, this eliminates the flood panels, ramps, etc. We have an interior foyer space at grade that has elevator access for all ADA compliancy, and we also have, again, the exterior stairs, which we thought was a nice touch for the building. These larger historic structures like the Scarborough Inn and whatnot have second floor stairs that lead up to the upper level. We think that was a great way to kind of use this structure.
We are providing additional parking as a result of filling in these curb cuts, and then you provided fully conforming parking on site, correct?
Yes, we did.
All right. We are below the maximum threshold for building impervious coverages?
Yes, we are.
Unlike the other two projects that you mentioned earlier? So.
Yes.
All right. And it's evident from that rendering that you created what I would consider a very desirable project that will be a aesthetically pleasing structure for the entrance to the gateway. Would that be fair?
Yeah,
it's tough to critique your work. But.
Well, again, we believe that it is aesthetically pleasing, and it is trying to be as sensitive as it can as far as scale is concerned.
All right. Can you think of substantial detriment to the public good if the board sees fit to grant the application?
I do not see a detriment, no.
Okay. Granting the application substantially impair the intent purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance?
No. Again, we're elevating commercial out of flood, and we're providing parking. Flooding and parking are two of the largest problems in Ocean City, and we believe this building is solving those problems.
And you're creating a building that is in keeping with other mixed-use buildings that are right in this general vicinity in the same zone, correct?
And we're providing more parking, and we're providing flood-proof, flood-resistant commercial space, which is keeps the island running when there is a flood.
Meets the spirit of the tenant of the gateway zone.
Yes, it does.
Right. Your testimony that the negative criteria has been satisfied.
Yes, sir.
Those are all the questions I have, Mr. Bechtel.
Board questions to the applicant?
The commercial spaces, I know you're not saying what exactly they are, but what do you anticipate? The other places, Brandazzo's, George's, are obviously a lot of walk-up type of thing, pizza, candy, ice cream.
It'd be great if they're, I know that Holiday Coffee's killing it, so I don't know if they want to come in here. If you have a place on 34th Street, you can't get a coffee in that place hardly, but I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be yet, but it's designed so that it can handle almost every single use that that it can have.
Okay. I'm just looking at people walking up steps to get to a commercial use. Normally it's a different type of clientele for a different type of use than what would be going to the...
It could be a lawyer's office, it could be a realtor office, it could be an architect's office.
So more of an office type of use you're anticipating.
Absolutely has the potential for that as well.
Okay.
I walk up 9th and Haven to get my coffee sometimes over there. There's an elevated commercial use over there, the yoga studio and the coffee spot.
You're a very fit person.
Well, you do have the elevator.
I'm sure. The other question, the elevator only accesses the unit 1, commercial unit 1?
The elevator, it'll access all units. It will access all units. That's a foyer space. There'll actually be another access through here to the commercial space, yes.
So the commercial space 2 will have access?
Yes.
Any other board questions?
Just for clarity, so that 4-foot setback, it looks like it only pertains, I think you said this, it only pertains to the EV, the deck for the EV chargers, it's not for the whole...
No, so the 4-foot setback is only allowed to be for 15% of the lot depth. So you're allowed to do an architectural projection into a side yard that encroaches up to within 4 feet. That could be for 15 feet of that building, basically. So there's an encroachment of that. On the first level, it's a deck. On the next levels, I believe it's a bump out for a bedroom. Only for, like I said, 15 feet of length of the building.
15 feet?
Yes, sir.
And do you happen to know how tall that duplex is next door?
I don't know if they maxed it out, but that duplex, based on where base flood is there from grade, it's 30. So you're probably looking at around... So it's about 37 feet tall from grade. This would be approximately, you're talking 10 plus 38. You're talking about 42-ish for this, something like that?
For the duplex.
It's a single family.
You'll have your chance. Mr. Allegra?
Yeah, just had a couple of questions as well. So I guess with the commercial, is it Are there vents there for food, or is it just...
Yes, we do have a vent that goes up through there on the roof, and you'll see there's a... We have to have that.
Yeah, I thought so. I can find...
So we have that chase that runs through the building, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that's an option.
So, and again, we're showing it as two. It could be one. It could be two. It could be whatever. It can be built a suit, because luckily now we don't have to tear up a concrete floor to run drain lines if we decide to make the whole thing a restaurant or a food establishment of some kind, or a coffee shop that happens to be an ANSI system.
Right. And then just going back to parking, you spent a lot of time on that. So certainly it's all meets the zoning area required. Is there any space for any visitor extra parking for residential that could be fitting? Or just
as far as
I know, parking is always, especially in the area, because there's not a lot of parking.
The nice thing is, again, it's all open air. There's no garages. So
right.
I'm not going to say that we have to say which is reserved for where.
Right.
So there's no other space. We try to hold things off. We purposely have... The site plan. We purposely didn't put a parking space. We didn't try to start cramming spaces really close to the alley.
Yeah.
We thought about that, but the other issue is you've got the realtor's office,
right,
and they back out. So we were trying to be good neighbors and not be like, hey, we're going to put our cars right up against here so you guys can't pull in or pull
okay.
out. Because the old garden center kind of, I mean, it was loaded with debris and stuff,
yeah.
but I'm sure they would move whatever packages and what have you. I didn't think it made sense to put parking. We could have even moved the trash enclosure back here and added more parking along 34th Street. But again, we were trying to screen that more.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually kind of tried to pull back a little on the parking on that.
Right.
And we did create the extra space on site, so off site. So we were trying to
move it. Yeah, I understand. As you know, we always get requests for,
sure.
if we can have a chance to add extra parking,
well,
if possible, could we?
The other interesting thing there is, depending on how the business use works, you know, if it's somebody who's only going to be in their office from time to time
yeah.
and what have you, there is the potential for off hours or weekends where potentially
sure.
some of that, and technically the handicapped space, you know, if you have...
That's for anybody, yeah.
It is for anybody, yeah. So, yeah.
And the EV spots, they can be for, if they just for commercial, they can be used by residents.
They can be used, well, and we can have separate 220 lines for that as well, but
okay.
actual have to be EV stuff. We have to have a real EV charger for that. We
right.
can certainly have electric parking for the other residents if they want to have that.
Right.
Filling in that curb cut too on West Avenue is going to create at least one parking.
But normally you would have more parking around the building, but the way that corner is, it's nothing on 34th Street. So
yeah.
usually, you know, off street parking around it. This one has less than most places, as you can agree, because 34th Street is
sure.
not. So I thought I'd ask, because certainly you have all the parking required. I know there are opportunities if we could add a couple extra visitor spots that wouldn't affect the overall layout design.
Another question. The 12 squares here, what are
the... Those are the air conditioners. Those are the
air
conditioners
that
we've got. So the southwest corner of the building has the...
Gotcha.
We want to put them there. Again, they're not sticking in anybody's side yard. They're actually set back 10 feet, and they'll be screened. And they'll be able to be serviced, and they'll be out of flood. On flood.
Okay. How wide is this deck that runs around?
The deck that runs around the entire perimeter, it's approximately 10 feet.
10 feet? So it's a usable deck?
Yes. So if there was a little coffee shop or what, you know, somebody's just sitting out there, they're happy.
Oh, fresco done.
Have you had a chance to look at the county plans for
yes.
34th Street and West
It took
Avenue?
About 2 weeks to get it from the county, but we got it. And the county is not, it's weird, they're not proposing really any grade changes for this. They're going to redo the curb. I think they're going to try to redo the sidewalk, but they're not changing any grades, which is really weird. I actually brought that sheet if you needed to see that.
It doesn't lend itself to elevating of the road there. Plus, you don't want to mess with the traffic lights.
Correct.
I just wanted to make sure, because they're coming all the way to West Avenue.
Yes, sir.
And then they're going to head down West Avenue to 37th Street.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, we've contacted them. I think Mr. Scheide asked us to make sure we contacted them. So we.
Yeah, and just one other question. Just looking at plans, I think, but all the trees, everything are on the building side of the sidewalk. Everything
yes.
else is concrete, right?
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
Flooding and hiding.
Where's the utilities coming in from? West Avenue, 34th, the alley?
34th Street, I believe, yeah.
34th Street?
I believe so.
Have you talked to the engineer about the moratorium?
Yes. Yeah, they come off of 34th Street, yes.
Any other board questions?
Yeah, just back to the park.
Yeah.
For the record, make the record clear. Because it's been talked about with commercial, we don't know what's going there. And we won't know what's going there, but there's different parking criteria for different uses. appears that the maximum would be 9 spaces.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Regardless of what it is.
Yes.
Maximum 9 could be left.
Yes.
And maximum is 12 for residential.
Yes.
And you're providing for the maximum.
Yes.
So regardless of what goes in that first floor commercial space, either one of them are combined. The covered on
yes.
this plan.
Yes.
No parking variances whatsoever with this application.
I get that, but I just wanted to make sure that because different residential commercial uses require different amount of spaces.
Yes.
But you've designed your maximum.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That wasn't clear enough to make sure.
Absolutely. It's Andrew's fault.
Just thought I'd help you.
Anyone else?
I've got the rest of the numbers.
Okay. Mr. Shule? I speak to your report.
My report from December 9th, 2025, we did have an opportunity to review the plan for subcommittee at the end of October. And the plans were revised and updated. As a result of that meeting, they addressed a large number of our comments at that point. I'm going to go into page 6 of my report. There is a correction in the minimum side yard. It's in conformance. That 4-foot setback, Mr. Barnes, there was a question about that. It's for the architectural projection, which is in conformance with the ordinance. The side yards are conforming. There's a variance over ceiling height, which has been attested to, maximum building height, total number of stories, maximum landing size. Parking spaces is compliant by virtue of the e-space bonus. And the signs are in conformance with respect to their size, but we have a design waiver listed. The summary, commercial ceiling height, building height, max total stories, max landing size, residential parking space setbacks from West Avenue. Mr. Bechtel testified that there are 2 spaces there, the handicap space and space 2C, while within the required setback, required the variance. I had a question about the mechanical vent system. The commercial floor plan shows 2 commercial spaces, but there's only 1 chase, 1 vent going through. But there was additional testimony by Mr. Bechtel, I believe, that it may be 1 or 2 commercial spaces.
Correct.
So in that case, I think technically it complies with the ordinance if there's 1. And hopefully if there's one of these for other commercial units requires a vent, that it will be aligned with the space where the vent or the chase is proposed. So I'm going to say that it's conformance and there's no relief required for the mechanical vent system. They need a variance for the truck berth. And then there are 2 design waivers I noted. One was for the sign location, which is above the commercial facade, and the trash enclosure curb, which the board typically sees for this type of use. The applicant has attested that the residential units conform with the conditional use requirements. The applicant provided substantial testimony regarding the variances that are requested and required. I have only 1 condition left in my report. The plans will specify the final facade treatment for the ground floor as a condition of approval before we're inclined to approve the application. And we have our standard conditions of approval for the preliminary and final site plan, page 8 and page 9 of my report.
Questions from the board from Mr. Shule? Anyone? Seeing none, I'll go to Mr. Scheidick, our engineer.
Thank you, Chairman. Board members, we did a report dated December 15, 2025. These plans are revised based upon our previous review. I agree with all the variances set forth in Randy's report. Just a couple of technical comments. We suggest that some radius curving and some widening of the entranceway out to the alley be considered as a condition of approval. It's a 24-foot wide two-way driveway going out to the alley, but it's abrupt. It doesn't have any mechanisms for people turning in and turning out, but going over the grass, and it just kind of gets a little ugly out there. So for something of this magnitude with this many vehicles potentially coming out, it's our request that the curb radii be put at that entrance. just to make this thing clean. So,
yes, we do have that.
Stop bar should be installed. A couple of notes on the plans. There's a clear height. Can you verify that for me, Andrew?
Yes.
There's a clear height of at least 98 inches underneath this structure for parking to meet ADA requirements.
Yes.
The plans propose the removal and replacement of the curb, the sidewalk, and the gutter along both 34th Street and West Avenue. They are county roads. That's about all that's left on my report from the last review.
Questions from the board, Mr. Schneider? No questions. If you're at rest at this point, I'd like a motion to open it up to the public.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. At this point, I want to open it up to the public. And what we're going to do is we're going to start one side, go back, start the other side, go back. When you come to the microphone, you're going to be sworn in. We're going to need your name and address, spelling of your name, please.
Do you want to limit it to 3 minutes? Or
and we'll play with it and see what happens.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Dr. Robert Haynesburg, 3420 West.
Spell your last name, please.
K-O-E-N-I-G-S-B-E-R-G.
And the address again?
3420 West.
Good evening. The testimony that I'm about to give this evening, the truth, the whole truth, so help me God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Dr. Robert Kenningsburg, and thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. My wife, Bess, and I are homeowners of 3420 West, the third house from the development site. We have owned this home for the last 15 years. I'd like to note the fact that almost all the homes on this block are single-family homes. We have wonderful neighbors that care for our properties and for each other. We have spoken with many of our neighbors, and reluctantly, many could not attend this meeting. Notices were sent out by the developer during the Christmas New Year's week, and many did not get the notice until days after New Year's. Many had prior work commitments that could not attend this meeting. While we do love our home and surrounding area, like many popular spots in Ocean City, we struggle with existing parking during the summer. With the playground across the street and the beach within 2.5 blocks, we see numerous people parking on our block, unloading their cars and heading to the beach the entire day, especially as space is only up the side of West Avenue over here. The new playground, which we are all looking forward to, only worsens this problem. We want the corner site to be developed, and we want it to be a beautiful addition to our block and help function as the gateway to Ocean City. The current proposal requires 11 total waivers and variances. We and our neighbors find this to be unreasonable. Of the 11 variances and waivers requested, the most objectionable is the requesting of a 4-story building, when only 2.5 stories is allowed according to the current variances, and not in the spirit of the gateway. The building proposed has first floor parking, and a commercial second floor, and then 2 floors of proposed residency above the commercial. While some of our homes are elevated, we do not exceed the maximum height required allowed for this project and should not exceed the height requirements. They could easily only have 1 floor above the commercial and not exceed the maximum required height. On their last proposal, there were 2 floors of residential living with 6-bedroom condo apartments and 2 5-bedroom condos for a total of 22 bedrooms in the buildings. I would like to say they have modified the exorbitant request for 22 bedrooms, but they have a name only. They currently have 3 bedrooms, apartments on 1 floor, and 2 4-bedrooms on the other floor. Now, officially, this is only 17 bedrooms, but for the fact that each of the 5 apartments has a den, these dens are across from the bathrooms and sharing a wall with the second bathroom, as well as being between 2 bedrooms. They picture each den with a couch. So in reality, they still have 22 functioning bedrooms, despite what they choose to call them. Maybe they thought no one would notice. The density of the people occupying the residences is equivalent to that of a half hotel, with roughly 50 people residing in these buildings at the same time, plus the businesses. Again, this is not in the spirit of the Gateway and our single family home community. This problem could also be solved by not granting variance to allow increased height of the building and limiting construction to one floor above the commercial space. The developer is also requesting waivers for decreased side yard setback of 4.1 feet as opposed to 10 feet required. I believe this is on the side that faces 34th Street. We all know that 34th Street not only has heavy traffic, but also a high volume of pedestrian traffic, including fully loaded beach carts. This will worsen when the proposed widening of 34th Street is completed. And to be honest, we're not sure, when I wrote this, what 34th Street will look like. An extra large and tall building will not be aesthetically pleasing on the corner of 34th and West in the Gateway area, and would detract from the beauty of the area. The area is mostly residential with commercial establishments on 34th Street. The proposed building would only present a sidewalk to 34th Street, therefore not contributing to the intent of the Gateway corridor, and that is to enhance the entranceway. The current parking proposed still does not have enough commercial spots, 8 are proposed and 14 are required. While there are a required number of residential spots, 12, which includes use of tandem parking, reduce the number of residential areas by eliminating the residential floors will allow more commercial parking. Therefore, the waiver for the reduced number of commercial spots should be provided. Another variance requested is the current proposal has parking spaces encroaching into the front yard, as well as the off-street parking spaces, with 0 setback to the structure and 1 foot setback to the property line. This too should not be allowed. Now let's talk about the 15-foot alley behind the structure. These alleys are all over Ocean City, and we all have to live with them. They are barely functional with just residential housing alone, let alone commercial establishments. Our children play in these alleys and ride their bikes there. Aside from the trash and recycling trucks that use these alleys, they are not built for large trucks loading and unloading on a regular basis. We certainly don't want to see trucks loading and unloading on West Avenue. The developer does not have a truck berth and is seeking a variance. Where will the trucks load and unload? Will they block the alley and not allow the residents to access their homes? Or will they pull into the parking lot behind the condos and apartments on Haven, which is in our alley behind our home? The building should have a dedicated spot to unload and unload. The variance should be denied. While we're talking about this alley, the entrance to the parking area is located off this alley, a short distance after turning into the alley off 34th Street. In the summer traffic, it is often backed up into 34th Street, and it's difficult to see the alley entrance and to make the right turn. Not only this, there is also a traffic light coming from West Avenue, and cars coming from West to 34th often try to turn left, cutting through the traffic on 34th Street headed east into the alley for access. This problem will be worsened with the increased people trying to access the first floor parking area under the building. One of the Gateway Zone principles is traffic calming. We find this will do the opposite. There are a couple of other Gateway Zone rules that the developer hasn't specifically requested variances for. The requirements are found in 25-205.10. Things the code mentions is court lot should have 2 front yards, 1 side yard, and 1 rear yard. The scale of the new infill building should be sensitive to pedestrians. We find this will not be sensitive to pedestrians. Buildings on corner lots should treat both street frontages as front facades in terms of architecture, windows, and setbacks. And there should be a landscape buffer. This is beyond my scope, but it doesn't seem to me there will be a landscape buffer. In conclusion, please deny the variances that are being sought. The variances are not required because the developer has a hardship, but because they insist on an oversized building with 2 floors of condos instead of single residential floor above the commercial floor, or no added residences. We look forward to site development with a plan that has a building or 2 buildings within current code that will accentuate one's entrance to Ocean City and will be scaled for this location. Developers should seriously consider ground level storefronts with single residence above each, single housing, single or double storefronts only, or a combination thereof in full compliance with building codes. This to enhance the Gateway and be within the aesthetics of our residential street. We look forward to commerce with our future business establishments that are respectful to our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm on this side, and I'm going to put a little caveat to this. That was a great piece. Let's try not to be redundant. You can agree with something, and we can move forward. Please come forward, anybody on this side. Don't be shy. I'll stop it.
Helen Skelton, Skelton, from 3409 Haven. I'm also representing the Ocean Isle 34 Condo Association.
Good evening. Is the testimony you're about to give the scene the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And do you have a letter from the board of the condo association?
I'm the president. They asked me to speak.
You can speak for yourself,
okay.
Not the condo association, because I need a letter of allowing you to speak. But for you, say what you want to say.
First of all, I would like to ask why the architect, knowing the rules and regulations and zoning codes of Ocean City, did not comply with them when they designed this building so that they would have saved everybody a lot of time and money, and they would be recouping their investment. We like our community as it is. If you drive in from Roosevelt Boulevard, there are no oversized buildings as you propose. That corner has a park, a gas station, and Hoyt's that are all normal-sized buildings and fit into our area. We all know that parking is at a premium in the summer, and your proposal makes it worse. Through any other bills in this area, our parking lot has been used for delivery trucks, working trucks, and even had dumpsters dumped on our lot. We own and pay the taxes and maintenance on this lot. It is marked private property. Nobody listens. I've called and had them removed before. The renters on the one I called on the unit that is built next to us has two parking places for each level. The people bring in 3 and 4 cars and try to park in our lot. They park on our grass.
Can we stay kind of focused to the application?
Okay. So where I want to know, are the workmen going to park when they are building this location? Where are the employees going to park that work there? And because we do not want them in our lot. Okay. The storm drainage. Right now, that's corner floods. It is a drain field currently. When they build this building, where is the drain water going to go that would normally go into that ground? And if they do build this, this is going to flood neighbors that don't flood now. if they decide to widen 3rd and 4th Street, what is going to happen to the sidewalk? Is there going to be enough room for a sidewalk between the building and the curb for people to safely walk to the beach? are they going to have dumpsters or cans in the back? Because if they have dumpsters, how is the trash company going to access the dumpsters to get them in and out there so they aren't blocking the alleyway? I'm also aware that when they were digging up and demolishing that lot, that they found underground tanks. And I would like to know if there's been an EPA testing of that soil after those tanks, if they're still there or if they've been removed. My suggestion to this is to remove the fourth floor, and it would conform better with the area. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, on this side, anyone?
My name is Michelle Morrison. I live at 3424 West Avenue.
is down.
Good evening, Ms. Morrison. Is the testimony that you are about to give this evening the truth, or all the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen of the planning board, thank you very much for hearing us today. My name is Michelle Morrison, and my husband and I have owned our very small cottage at the corner of 34th and West now for 19 years. We have very strong ties to Ocean City. My brother-in-law is a retired Ocean City lifeguard lieutenant. After 30 years of service, he's currently a high school teacher in Ocean City. My father and my uncle are both graduates of Ocean City High School. Even my grandmother graduated from Ocean City High School back in the 30s. When my husband and I were considering homes for our family, there was absolutely no doubt that we wanted our children to experience growing up in Ocean City, not only because it's a wonderful place to build a family, but we had our family roots here and a sense of community. We loved our small, tiny little cottage. When we've made tremendous memories there, we built relationships with our neighbors, like Mary, who lives in a single family home right next to this property. Maggie, full-time resident also, like Mary, who lives next door in a single family. Robert and Bess, single family. And the people who live right next door to me, though they're renters, they have been the same full-time residents since before Hurricane Sandy. My point is, these are long-time families here living in this neighborhood. We played at the playground across the street. I sent my kids to camp across the street. I taught my kids how to ride two-wheelers in that alley. And I'm looking forward to hopefully, at some point in my life, teaching my grandchildren how to ride a two-wheeler in that alley. The neighbors, we got together. We hired an attorney. You met him last time. He gave us counsel this time around to speak our voice, to share our compassion about this development. We absolutely want to see this corner developed, but we want to see it developed the correct way. We do not want overdevelopment. We do not want to seek exceptions to increase the building height. We don't want to see maximum stories increase from 2.5 to 4. That's not in the spirit of the Gateway project, nor is it consistent with the adjacent single-family homes. This will create a tunnel effect at that corner, blocking sunlight, breezes, and look inconsistent with the other family homes between 34 and 35. We do not want to see exceptions to allow 5 apartments with 17 bedrooms. You heard my neighbor talk about the den that has a door that's similar in size to the other bedrooms. This would bring the sleeping rooms, let's not talk the bedrooms, we're talking sleeping rooms, from 17 to 22 sleeping rooms. Regardless what you want to call these guest rooms, approvals will bring too many people, too many cars, and not enough parking. The parcel should be designed and developed consistent with the Gateway Zone rules, which include the corner lot having 2 front yards, 1 side yard, 1 rear yard, and should be sensitive to the pedestrians. We do not want to see a variance approvals to reduce setbacks from the required 10 feet to only 4.1. We do not want a variance approval to allow for parking to encroach into the front yard. And we absolutely do not want to have a variance approval for parking directly on Mary's property line. We do not want the corner to be so dense and compact and burdensome that it is unpleasant to us and unpleasant to the people who want to reside in our neighborhood. The land is absolutely large enough to be developed within existing guidelines. And again, we reiterate as a group and personally, this, we want the lot developed, but within the current guidelines, without variances. We do not support the specific plans proposed by B2. We believe there's plenty of square footage within 10,000 square feet. We respectfully ask that you hear the voices of the people, specifically the neighbors and the residents that that are personally affected by this proposal, and we advocate for development only within the existing laws and ordinances. While there are no hardships for the developer to build within the existing regulations, there would be hardships on us, the current residents, for these variances if they were approved. Please, please do not put the profits of one developer, who only, by the way, purchased the lot for financial gain, over the quality of life of the existing residents, our visitors and guests to this portion of Ocean City as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, don't be redundant, please. You know, you can agree to what's been said, and let's move forward.
Mark Grimes, 1934 Street, Ocean City. Sorry about that.
Good evening, Mr. Grimes. Is the testimony you're about to give this evening the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, Son of God?
Yes. So I just want to give a little history on this property. This property was brought to my attention. Obviously, I sold real estate on this island for 36 years. Most of my career has been at 32nd Street, 33rd Street, and then at 34th Street, so I know this block pretty well. I got a phone call about 2 years ago from another owner in town that got called by Mrs. McDowell, do you want to buy this property, after being on the market for 2 years. Mrs. McDowell was told no by that buyer, so that person called me and says, Mark, Mrs. McDowell wants to sell the property bad, do you have anybody for it? I was shocked, actually, because this property I thought was a prime location, but it just goes to show you there's not 100 people stepping up to buy this property. I had to call two developers, not one, two, to buy this property. One here, one back here. We sold one property to a single family that was built adjacent. Is that Mary, right?
Yeah.
Mary lives next door. We told her, Mayor, when you buy this property, more than likely there's going to be a commercial building. Don't know the scope of it, but there's going to be a commercial building next door.
Yeah, stay.
Okay.
Here, please.
Right. So, having said that, when Vince did the first plan, I said, Vince, I think this is a very nice plan. It's already got approved at 10th Street. It already got approved at 6th Street. Similar buildings got approved at 33rd Street. A building at 55th Street already got approved. All ground level, all pretty sizable buildings with grade level commercial stores. When that got denied, I was actually shocked. And then when the new plan came, I looked at the plan from Vince, and I said, Vince, actually I like this better. It's got elevated parking. There was a little bit of a flood issue on that corner that was brought up earlier. I just think it's a better, to me, it's a better looking building. The parking underneath is going to help, I think, the neighborhood. I disagree with the senators. I do think it's going to help. If we all recall what was there before, it was a garden center. Very busy garden center. Like, I hate to use the word selective amnesia, it was a busy garden center. Cars in, cars out, they rented bikes, they did everything there. So traffic, I think it's going to be less. Personally, I think it's going to be way less. In reference to the building, commercial, let's just talk about the commercial piece. The fact that it's going to be elevated now, I personally think that you're not going to see a food store there. I know you were putting the Chases in for food, but I told Vince, I think you're going to eliminate. I mean, I got a call from Coors Brother. They only wanted the ground level. So now that we're elevating it up, I don't see anything but a Pilates store or a clothing store or civil office. So, all right. So I think the project, personally, if it doesn't get approved, I hate to say it, it's going to be vacant for a while. There wasn't a buyer for it before, and now if this gets not approved, there's no money. There's no way feasible anybody's going to make a dollar developing this site and go through this process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And again, on this side, no one. Please. Oh, I got somebody coming up. Sorry. We'll get you.
My name is Devlin Morrison. You heard from my wife, Michelle Morrison, earlier, 3424 West Avenue.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Morrison. It's a testimony about to give this evening. The truth, all truth, nothing but the truth, all be God.
It is, yes, thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen of the Planning Board, thank you very much for your consideration of our perspectives this evening and your service to this community. I'll try not to rehash the points that have been made because they've been very good, but to make a few points around what we have experienced historically on this block. The Garden Center, yes, was busy. It had two or three customers at a time coming through the Garden Center, two or three customers at a time at the Bike Center. There was not a lot of traffic coming for the Garden Center, and there was no residential units above the Garden Center. So when you talk about what this development's going to do for our block, for the traffic, for the parking, and the mass of people that should be coming, this is an extraordinarily large burden on our particular neighborhood. We had hoped that development would move forward, as was said, but we hoped it would be done within the guidelines. We can't choose the economics that a builder chooses for their particular return on investment. That's up to them. But that is a very large lot with a lot of opportunity for commercial and residential, has been pointed out. So I would just say that I was surprised that we were back here tonight, actually, given the guidance that the board had provided previously with unanimous denial of the variances, and yet many of the variances being requested are the similar variances that were requested before. So it seems like the revised site plan perpetuates the same fundamental flaws that was present in the last site plan. So three reasons why the board should deny: inconsistency with the master plan and the gateway vision, parking deficiencies, overdevelopment and neighborhood impact, and traffic and safety concerns. So thank you for hearing our voices.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Jeff Fonte. I live at 24 Barbados Lane. Ocean City. And
can you spell your last name, please?
F is in Frank, A-N-T-E.
Good evening, Mr. Fonte. Testimony you're about to give us in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self-God.
Yes. So I'll be brief because I know I don't live next door and but I do live on the island. And first of all, I want to say I think everybody respects the developers and the investors here who take these projects. Although there's some heartstrings that happen when you have to demolish these projects, but it's always something that looks much better and enhances the town. I know Andrew. Andrew has designed a couple of homes for me, including the one I live in, and it's beautiful. I know Vince from seeing his properties and his jobs all throughout the town. I've toured the inside, I've learned, and all I can say is it's nothing but the best quality. I think that this design looks fantastic. I'm very impressed with it. I'll leave all the technical, all the codes and whatnot to you guys, but from a resident and somebody who knows quality, I'm just here to say I hope that you can approve this. I think it would enhance the town. And coming in through the 34th Street Bridge, it would be something that really greets people in a real positive way. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Chuck Deal, 2837 Central Avenue, DEAL. I'm always looking for the best deal.
2837.
Yeah,
his testimony about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes. I'd like to thank everybody that's here, and especially you guys putting all the time in and listening to all of us here.
Good job.
At the same time, I wasn't going to get up and speak, but I heard a couple of people, especially the developers. They talk about the corner, north corners of where the pizza place is, and across from the golf course and the little other place on the right side on Asbury. Two wrongs don't make a right. Those properties, they were given a pass. Now, this person is coming in and saying, well, you gave it to these people, but I'm not asking as much, so you should give me a pass. But and listening to the neighbors, and they talk about the height and that extra floor. Well, if you eliminate that floor, that would get more parking spaces. And what we're really talking about, and someone mentioned it, was 22 bedrooms. Those dens are bedrooms. We all know that in this room. I've been before this, not the zoning board, and someone was doing the same thing next to me, and they called it a playroom, and they got it passed. And they were laughing at the board, on the zoning board, after they passed, because they knew that it's now a bedroom with a bath. And, you know, it's so obvious when people come in here and say, oh, it's going to be a playroom or a den, it's going to be a bedroom. We all know that in this room. Just looking at this, the developer, and thank God there's developers, but there's good developers and bad developers. But let's keep within the context of the development. It's not up to us for him to make a profit. If I buy a stock and it goes in the tubes, I take a loss. Well, if a developer buys a bad piece of property and paid too much for it, he should take the loss. We shouldn't have to bail him out. It's common sense. And he's just one. So who's behind him? And the next thing we're going to find out in a year from now is this McDonald's property. That's a three-quarters of a property. Okay. But we're going to deal with the same thing on that property. But anyways, we're not here to bail him out. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, on this side, I'm running out of people. Come on. By the time I get over here, nobody's going to have anything to say. Name,
Mary,
address.
Mary Holmes Brickman, 3412 West Avenue.
Spell your last name, please.
H-O-L-M-E-S hyphen B as in boy, R-I-C-K-E-R.
Good evening. The testimony you're about to give this evening, the truth, the whole truth.
It's the same as the guy that stood up in the beginning.
Self of God.
Yes. I just wanted to say I moved in May, and I knew they were going to build something, and I want something to be built. But, I mean, it's going to be very close to my property, and I bought this property. I have my two 24-year-olds still live in it with me, and I have grandchildren who are in California, and I expected this to be, like, where my family could come and enjoy and whatnot. Now, I'm going to be a lot more worried, I mean, because this big mess, there's going to be a lot of people and a lot of cars, and that just changes the whole dynamics of the alley and just the safety, like, I mean, as far as being in the backyard, not the front yard, but, and from what I understand, this might not be true, but the air conditioning and all that's going to be practically a butt in my property, so we have all that noise. So all I really wanted to say is that, you know, I did buy this single house, which I'm actually surprised they were able, you know, because it's pretty tall, but, and now, it's not even as much the height to me, but as much as how many people, and how we're going to get in and out, and Saturdays are a disaster to go anywhere in town. Obviously, you don't leave the island, but if you go to my class band that I go, you know, coming back's a nightmare. Well, now it's going to be much worse. So, if it's not in the variances, you know, I'm for sticking with the variances. And by the way, I've lived in Ocean City for the past 5 years, but I just did this, so.
Thank you. Still over here. Okay, now I'm over here.
Good evening. My name is Pat Dehart. I'm here with my husband, Jim. Our address is 3429 Haven, and we're within 200 feet. So, of course, we received a letter, you know.
You got to get sworn in first.
Good evening. This is a testimony you're about to give this evening. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
We have been in at this particular house in Ocean City for 20 years, and we have a four-bedroom, two-bath. It's the bottom floor of a duplex. And when we're there,
can we stay on the application, please?
I beg your pardon?
Speak to the application.
I am speaking to it, so I'm giving an example. My four-bedroom, two-bath house, we have a minimum of four cars when our family's down. So if you have five units at three to four cars, you're already at the 20 without having additional cars that you would have for whatever business you're proposing. So I think that you've heard, you know, over and over about the parking situation, but more importantly, I'm wondering, I ride my bicycle through all the alleys in Ocean City, and our alley is narrower than many of the alleys in Ocean City. Has anybody measured how narrow our alley is? Is that on any of these plans? I have not seen that.
All the alleys are 15 feet.
Because I can tell you, now that they've waived a setback for somebody in our alley who put a fence all the way to the curb, it's you have to jury rig to get back our car out of what is ours because it is so narrow. I just can't even imagine. So I believe that situation has to be remedied. I wasn't here for the last meeting, but I also wanted to find out what they're going to do, practical questions about where the beach chairs, the e-bikes, the beach wagons, and all the things that people bring down for each one of these rental properties, where will they be stored?
Stay focused here.
Am I allowed to ask that question?
Yeah, you can ask the question. The solicitor on the other side is taking notes, and you'll probably get a response to that.
Okay. He also mentioned the elevated parking area, whether they make it permeable or they make it concrete. I think the building is aesthetically pretty, so I have nothing against how it looks. It's just that by overriding a lot of these variances, this is going to create runoff. And somebody else mentioned it, but come in a rainstorm and you get to see how if they elevate that parking area, that's going to either go to Mary's yard or the front sewers there. So I think that that's going to be a real problem. So I think that, you know, maybe we should take a look at this further, that, you know, aesthetically it's beautiful. And I agree, somebody mentioned, if you didn't have the top story, I know it's not as profitable for the developer, but aesthetically it would fit in the neighborhood better. But the parking is a nightmare in Ocean City, and you hear this over and over. And there's not enough spots here for that, let alone the day trippers that decide to park there. It's private property. They can park there anyway because it's going to be renters, probably, you know. And what's preventing them from pulling in? And now you don't even have enough for the people who are there. So our kids ride, we have 15 grandkids, and we all ride our bikes past that all these years. And I'm telling you, I don't think our alley is 15 feet wide. I'm going to go back and measure it when I get home. But I'm telling you, this is a narrow alley, and use the jury rig just to back my car. I can't even imagine the construction there, but I want to thank the planning board for your thoughtfulness, for allowing public opinion, and I even, you know, the developer, for taking a shot and putting out something that's aesthetically pleasing.
When the island was laid out, the alleys were laid out as service ways. That was horse and wagon.
Agreed. Thank you.
So 15 feet is what you get with a horse and wagon. Sorry. and it's across the island.
I know you. I know you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Distin Vanderslice, 201 Bartram Lane in Ocean City.
Hold on one second.
Oh, wait, what was your name again?
Vanderslice.
Vanderslice.
First name?
Distin.
Distin. V-A-N-D-E-R-S-L-I-C-E.
Good evening, Mr. Vanderslice. Is the testimony you're about to give this evening the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir. So, this corner is near and dear to my heart. Obviously, I don't live there now, but growing up in Mary Park, and I actually rent it for 2 years with Mrs. Stratton at 3428 West Avenue, so I know this area very well. And I loved Ron's Garden Market. Obviously, I wish it didn't go, but, you know, everything, there's times for change. So, currently, I'm a owner of one of the owners of 3400 Central Avenue. So, I butt right up to the Nick George building, as you guys were all discussing, and the Randazzo building. I wasn't really planning on speaking, but I figured after hearing a lot of people talk about that, like, those buildings, I wish it looked like this. And Andrew did an amazing job designing this place. They don't really offend me. The height doesn't offend me. If anything, the only thing that's a pain in the butt is that our parking isn't situated like this, and Nick's isn't really situated like that. So they have big trucks coming in. If this was on the ground floor, I can imagine there was going to be more coffee shops, bagel shops. I sort of wish maybe that was the case, but this is going to be a private real estate office or, you know, some kind of insurance office, something like that. That's what I would assume. But from looking at it, it seems I would be in favor of it. I like that it's on one lot instead of the two lots. I'm sympathetic with the neighbors. I understand that's a busy corner. It's always been a busy corner, and it's going to continue to be a busy corner. But with the ever-changing of 34th Street, the gateway, with the sea spray, and with the beautiful job that the city's doing with the playground, this is going to be a really nice addition, I would think. On the height variance aspect, which I'm assuming is one of the major aspects, I know that the state of New Jersey is implementing raising pretty much all the heights by 3 feet. I'm not sure exactly how that regulation's going to look, but this might be the new zoning. So just wanted to come up and ask someone that lives in Marion Park and lives right at 34th Street there, just say that, you know, I would be for this, and I think it would be a nice addition to 34th Street.
Thank you. Again, on this side, someone.
Hogan,
H-O-G-A-N, 612
Wesley. Good evening, Ms. Hogan. Is the testimony you're about to give this evening the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes. Okay, I'll be short and sweet. Been here 30 years, and I am really tired of developers trying to sneak in that extra bedroom to get away from the requirement for parking. We know, and you said, it's not a playroom. It's not a den. If it's got a door on it, it's going to be a bedroom. Now's your chance to pull in the reins and stop this.
Thank you. Anybody else on this side?
James D. Hart, 3429 Haven.
Yes, good evening, Mr. D. Hart. It's the testimony you're about to give this evening. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So good God.
Yes. Okay, just one pretty short statement. I love Ocean City. I have loved Ocean City as long as I can remember. And I hope to love it for a few more years that I have left on this earth. I think that people that have managed this city have done a pretty spectacular job. Yes, there have been mistakes. But the zoning rules and regulations were put in place for a very good reason. And that's part of why this city has been the place that I love as much as I do. I think they were put in place, and when things get proposed that need so many variances, it's probably not a good idea. This is way bigger than that corner really should have, and it's a very big concern for me that we're going to have so much jammed into this little corner. Parking is just going to be a nightmare. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, on this side, please.
My name's Jim Berry. I'm at 635 Ocean Avenue. B-E-R-R-Y.
Yes, Mr. Berry, good evening. Is the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Help me God, it is. I've owned a home in Ocean City for 38 years. For the last 4 years, I've been a permanent resident. And the home I'm in now is my fourth new home. It's a B2 property. I've been in there for about a year. It's by far the best constructed home out of the four I've had. I think that it's got a lot of character to it. And I just want to say, I feel that I looked at the plans. I think aesthetically they're beautiful. I don't think that the variances that he's asking for are out of line. So I think that you should grant it to him. I just think that it's going to make that 34th Street corridor with all the new construction, the sea spray, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a beautiful addition. And it reminds me of what the Keller Williams building did for the 9th Street corridor. I remember everybody complaining that it was too high, it was going to take away. But, you know, when you come in 9th Street now and you see that, it's a classy looking building. And I believe that this will really add a lot to the 34th Street corridor, along with all the new construction that's going on. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Julie, J-U-L-I-E, Frasca, F-R-A-S-C-A. I have a business at...
Your address?
Yes. 1004 Asbury Avenue.
Good evening. Is the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
So help you God. I just want to take a moment of your time first to thank you all for your time and the amount of time that you spent to try to make the best decision. I want to tell you that I've been a business owner in Ocean City for 30 years. I was at 801 Asbury in the Crown Bank building, and 6 months after I moved in, I lost my shop to Hurricane Sandy. It was devastating. When I had an opportunity to buy on Asbury Avenue, I had the blessing of being able to buy a piece of property that Vince was developing, again, 1004 Asbury Avenue. The construction itself is amazing. The two properties, the property right next to me was built by someone else, and it's obvious. So I want to say to the people in the community, if this place is going to be built, it's a beautiful build. I just want to say that. I appreciate the fact that a developer is taking into account parking in a serious way while negating, or I'm not sure that's the right word, but getting ahead of flooding. So by raising the building and giving us parking that we all need, and one, it doesn't fall on one developer's shoulder to fix parking, but he took the task to fix the potential problem of parking with his build. So I appreciate that. As someone who went through the flood and lost a business, I even appreciate the fact that it's the commercial is elevated for just flood reasons. But to actually have parking under it is a plus. So while I don't have a vested interest in that property, I want to say that I'm concerned about parking. I'm concerned about flooding. And I also appreciate a really nice built building. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, this side, someone, anyone? If not, I'm going to close the public. Seeing no one, I'd like a motion to close the public.
So moved, Justin.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Back to the applicant for closing.
I'm going to bring Mr. Bechtold up just to ask him a few questions because I think it's important to address some of the statements made by the public so that everybody's on the same page with exactly what we need, what we don't need, and some of the other features of the building. So, Mr. Bechtold, there's absolutely no parking variance required for this project, correct?
Number of parking spaces, no. None at all.
Okay. And there's no side yard setback variance required?
No.
That was listed on Mr. Schultz.
No, it's not on 34th Street. There's an encroachment that is a permitted architectural projection that is on the south side. Nothing is on 34th Street. 34th Street is clear. There's actually a 13-foot front yard setback on 34th Street. 10 is required. The county wants us to hold 13. There's also another 10-foot front yard setback that we comply with off of West Avenue.
So just to whittle down to the lowest common denominator here, there are essentially five variances that are required for approval of this project. Minimum commercial ceiling height for the commercial units, which we haven't really discussed.
6 inches, which was not brought up, but again, 6 inches is fairly minimal. Again, it's to try to free as much space as we can without asking for more height.
Maximum landing size, which we've discussed, is a safety issue, and also granted on almost every commercial duplex structure in Ocean City, correct?
Correct. Specifically because most of the landings that we even do downtown now on Asbury Avenue have to be larger due to ADA requirements, so the city hasn't caught up with that landing requirement yet, either. I assume they'll be hopefully fixing it.
And then two of the parking spaces, the handicap space and space 2C, encroach into the front yard setback on West
the
Avenue.
The parking, physical parking space encroaches by 1 foot on the south side and approximately 4 feet, which is screened by the landing on the north side.
So this is not the building, this is just parking spaces?
This is parking spaces.
Okay. And nobody's really going to even notice these parking spaces encroaching into the front yard because of the way the building's positioned and the screening on
that is correct, yes.
All right. So we have those three variances, and then we have the building height, and we have the total stairs.
And again, the gateway zone continues to the Seaspray condominiums. Seaspray condominiums decided to redevelop. That building is going to be 43 units. It's going to be almost 60 feet tall. This building is going to be 25 feet shorter than that with a heck of a lot less units. So it's definitely in keeping. This is a five-unit building. A building on a 70-foot wide lot just down the block has 4 units. It's 3,000 square feet bigger. It has 1 unit, and it has more parking than all those buildings combined, and it is by the ordinance.
Say that again, because that is extremely important.
It is 3,000 square feet bigger in lot area. It's only 285 square feet bigger in building coverage, and it has more parking than those two buildings combined. And those two buildings, by the way, only have parking for residential. Zero for commercial, and the commercial still thrives in there. Again, you had a garden center. Lots of people coming out to go. I hear a lot of things about kids that play. I live in Ocean City my entire life. My kids go to the playground. They have a playground right across the street, but they also got a gas station the other way. I would argue the gas station is more detrimental, though please keep it here because it's the only gas station we have in town. But the parking, the driving, etc. Again, broken people pull into this place, park their car, go down to the beach, go down to Randazzo's, go down to whatever's in Nick George's buildings for that summer because who knows what's going to be in every summer, and then go across to the parking lot, go to Hoist 5 and 10, go to the steamer place, what have you. They park, they move on. There's not going to be this coming and going of parking that everybody keeps getting all freaked out about. I assume most of the people come here, they park their cars and they go to the beach, they go to the playground, they go to the ball fields, which is right there, they go to the Acme. It's also important that this building is 80% impervious coverage. I challenge you to look at any other building in the gateway zone that isn't 100% impervious coverage. Every single building. You go to the real estate office, you go to the Wawa, you go down to the Acme, which is a sea of asphalt. It's all impervious coverage. We're going to be 80%, and we're not even doing impervious pavers.
What's Randazzo's impervious coverage?
It is 99%. So, again, yes, I understand what the neighbors are saying. This building is 2'11" taller, and as Distin has mentioned, and we still don't know, by the way, what the heck's going to go on with the town. Are we going to be jacking up heights 3 feet anyway? So this would be a moot point. Now it's stories. Okay, well, stories versus height, what's the difference? It's height. It's height. Let's be honest here. It's not about stories. It's about height. And if we're providing an entire story of parking, how can the city say to me, look at me and say, you know what? We don't want more parking. We want you to slam that building in the ground. We want those units to flood, floodproof them, and call it a day. That's silly. We can provide so much more parking in a low area of town, which this is. The neighbors already said it floods there. We're going to be able to provide parking underneath the entire structure for everybody to use that is fully compliant, no variances at all based on number of spaces. Again, other projects required multiple variances for tons of parking, primarily commercial, and even parking space size, 8 foot 9 inches by 19. We are 9 by 18 clear spaces. We're not even into the columns. We are absolutely amazing parking. Mr. Scheidig already mentioned we will have compliant curbing to go into the building. We're only using the alley. We're not creating any other curb cuts. And as per city ordinance, we're only using the alley for access, as per the city ordinance. It's not like we wanted to just say, hey, we couldn't do a curb cut off of West Avenue. We'd be taking away parking anyway. We could use what was there, but it's not wide enough for two-way traffic. So again, we're creating a building that has compliant parking, access of parking. We're not going to be creating the situation that some of the other neighbors said where, oh my goodness, I'm not going to be able to back my car out because the alley's too narrow. We're not even on the alley with any of our stuff. We're not even pulling our cars off of the alley, backing into the alley. We're coming out headlights first. We are creating a safer situation. The garden center, when you could park your car there whenever there was some space, they had to back into the alley. Every single one of the cars coming out of this lot is going to come out headlights first. Unless you're some kind of crazy guy backing out of a two-way driveway. I don't know why you'd do that. But everybody's going to come out headlights first. So from a safety perspective, it's there. Again, you have that. You have the ability to get in and out safe on a county road, which we're off of. And the driveway is far enough back for the turn-in so that people, if, you know, it's not like it's, you know, we're giving away free stuff here. People will pull in and pull into the alley. It's not like it's the driveway into the building is immediately off of the alley. It's a couple of car lengths, and then you turn in. So there's plenty of room to do that. The trash enclosure is at the corner of the alley so that the trash truck can pull into the alley safely, empty whatever trash receptacles are there, and then move forward, just like any trash truck would be. I don't know how the loading and unloading happened at the garden center, but I would imagine they were getting quite a bit of product there weekly. Again, if this becomes a lawyer's office or an architect's office, you're going to have employees coming and going, and that's it. And hopefully it's just 9 to 5 on the day, so you'll have surplus parking on the weekend.
You have a bike rack on 34th
Street? We have a bike rack on 34th Street.
Sorry, on West Avenue?
On West Avenue, yes. Okay.
Anything else to add, Mr. Becton?
I don't believe so.
All right. The only thing I want to say in conclusion is when we present projects and when we try and make creative arguments, we look for consistency. Municipal land use law says consistency is very important. I thought that we were trying to make a creative argument of consistency with the lot size of the last application. Understand that that wasn't well received by neighbors, wasn't well received by the board. In preparing for tonight, what we looked for was consistent mixed-use development in the Gateway Zone and in this general area. What we found was Nick George's property, and what we found was Rand Azzo's, and then what Andrew pointed out too is what's being proposed at the Seaspray condominiums. And the common denominator with all of those is consistency. Consistency in the sense that you have buildings that are a little bit higher that needed a total stories variance because they wanted to get viable commercial on the first level and viable residential on the second and third levels. The difference here is that both those projects needed between 10 and 15 variances. We need 5 real variances. We need the same height variance and the same total stories variance. However, as you heard Mr. Bechtel testify, our height is actually smaller or less than the Nick George project, which is a block away. We are fully conforming for impervious coverage. In fact, we could be well under if he tried to use the impervious pavers. Every one of our setbacks is conforming. Our building coverage is approximately 30% less than what it could be. It's very rare that you see a mixed-use building, whether it's on Asbury Avenue, whether it's in the Gateway Zone, that needs only 5 real variances. And this board knows that. We present them all the time. Usually it's much more than that. So I think for all those reasons, the board has enough testimony and evidence to grant this application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question first?
Yes.
If approved, do you want the board engineer to create the cost estimate?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask one question?
Yes.
Can you from the audience? I guess a couple questions I need to hear addressed. So it was brought up, I guess, you know, drain water, runoff, things like that.
Yes.
I guess, can you touch on that a little more?
Absolutely.
How you feel like it meets that, or does that meet that?
By ordinance, we're not allowed to run any water on anybody's property whatsoever. So we are making sure that all water that is specifically on the south side, the neighbor side, that water will be directed towards the alley and towards 34th Street. Again, any surface water that's on the property will be directed towards the alley. And we have a 10-foot grass buffer down the side. The previous application only had a 6-foot setback on the side for the entire building.
Right.
So we increased that by 4 feet, actually, for all but 15 feet of the building. So we have a large area of grass here. We have a large area of grass along 34th Street, and we have quite a bit of grass. There's a couple of access points here along West Avenue, but there's quite a bit of grass actually flanking the north and south sides of this any kind of surface runoff at all.
And would there be gutters on the property?
Absolutely, has to be gutters, yes, sir. Okay.
And then, just to go back, I know it's come up about the stories and type, but what could you do, I guess, if you did two in your stories? Would it be about parking?
Well, that's the other thing, too. So, unfortunately, nobody here, I don't think, designs buildings in Ocean City every day. The problem with half stories is this. Half stories have a very specific zoning requirement of how they have to be. A half story has to be tucked inside the roof of the building. That's why we did this mansard. We didn't say that it's a half story or not, but the half story has to be tucked inside the roof, and the roof has to land on the floor of the floor that it's occupying. But then the dormers have to be brought in 5 feet from each side from a gable end, and then you can do other dormers that are 18 inches in. You basically have to nestle in a roof. That's why we nestled this entire top floor in the roof. We tried to make this look like a two-story building with a roof that has dormers in it, like you would see down in old school downtown.
Right.
That's what we did. But that still wouldn't comply because then it has to be 50% of the floor below.
Right, but it would still be three levels.
It would still be three levels, and that's the argument here. We're providing
about parking.
The parking. So from a height perspective, we're asking for 2'11", basically to get the parking to work.
Right.
Because if we put the floor exactly where we 2 feet above base flood, which is where you have to design for flood proofing to, that floor would be at +11. The grade's basically 4.5, 5.
Right.
So you'd be up 6.5 feet. So that's the argument. It's like, all right, well, do we flood proof this thing? And you've seen it before in other buildings. You've seen it where they have the large ramps that go down the sides that go up. And a 36-foot long ramp, you're only going to go up 3 feet. So you got to zigzag the ramp back and forth, or you have an internal lift inside the building. A lot of times people, that just doesn't make sense. So why not have the elevator? Why not lift the whole thing up? If I got to go up 6 feet, why not go up 9 feet and get the entire commercial space out of the flood anyway?
Right. Okay.
Especially in this area. There's other areas like downtown Asbury here where it's a little higher. This is low. I think it makes a lot more sense in the lower lying areas to get the commercial up.
I have a couple questions.
Yes,
just in response to the audience, I think that Mr. Scheide's comment about the radius curving, are you guys going to take that into consideration?
Absolutely, yes.
Do it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and why, again, did you get rid of the truck berth? Why don't you think of a truck berth to work in there?
Well, again, we have to provide a potential for restaurant use, but as mentioned earlier, there's a strong likelihood that it may not be a restaurant. So many, many, almost all the buildings that we've designed in Ocean City don't have truck berths. They're required on certain size lots, but we just simply don't do them because most of the time we're not designing, an Applebee's or a McDonald's. We're designing somebody's office or eventually somebody's office or a clothing store or something like that. So normally they're smaller trucks. It's not like truck berth would be like you're taking a semi down there. We're not doing that. It's going to be a box truck that might deliver. If it was the garden center, maybe they were delivering fresh berries or something like that. But like this will be, it's a couple boxes from Amazon or something like that, a UPS drop off or something like that, where they're going to hit probably West Avenue and drop it off and get out of there. That's what I would assume. That's why I didn't do the truck berth. I don't believe any structure in Ocean City that's been designed recently has a truck berth in it, no matter what the size.
A couple of people,
have
you done?
Yeah.
A couple of people have brought up widening of 34th Street. I've looked at those plans. I don't see widening.
They're not widening.
Okay. So they want to make...
Sorry.
Oops. Gary, way to go, Gary.
Sorry about that. I have that sheet here. They're not widening at all. They're simply repaving. I doubt that the money because they're filling all that other stuff. And as they're filling basically Roosevelt Boulevard, and then as it starts to curve down and come into 34th Street, it basically goes back down. There's no grading change by the stuff.
Right, from bay to west.
Yes, yeah. That is correct.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You're way down there in no man's land.
So we have on the Shul Report four proposed stories. We have on the planning board plans, first floor, second floor, third floor.
Yes, sir. Right.
And we have what is permitted within zoning is 2.5 stories.
Yes.
Right. And if you consider the board plans here, PB7, third floor residential, third floor could be considered a half story if it were 50% of the floor below. Is that correct or not?
It's a little bit more than that from a size perspective, it's 50%. But then on top of that, you'd have to then configure the roof.
You'd have to configure the roof anyway.
Correct, but you'd have to configure the roof.
Because where I'm going with this, and sorry to cut you off, is sure. Right now it's at 4,300 square feet on the third floor, half of which would be 2,175. If that were the case, then of course the roof is going to be brought in just like every other 2.5 or 2.4 or 2.6 story building that exists.
But remember, you have to have a minimum pitch of the 4-on-12. So there's a bunch of things that affect that as far as how you and how the strict interpretation of the half story.
But why I'm raising this is that it is possible, of course, you're going to lose a unit. I understand, and developers don't want to do that. But it could be done, could it not, to make instead of two units on the third floor, one unit, that's 2,375 square feet.
I don't think you'd fit the actual definition of the half story, that's the issue. I don't think it would actually physically work that way because of the girth of the building, as far as its width and depth. To try to get a 4-on-12 roof pitch up there, it simply wouldn't work. Or you have some kind of weird gambrel style. You would have such long runs with the pitches.
Well, you could have terraces and decks and mansards and all sorts of tricks.
Well, that's why we did the mansard roof here. You try to make this look like a two-story structure. With the
I get what you did. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I like it. I think it looks great. I'm just trying to respond to what some of the negative comments are. And how to get around.
And I understand the negative comments, but the negative comments have all brought up the same thing. It's the height. It's the height. It's the height. Well, it's the height. Yeah. It's the height. And you've got a 60-foot tall building.
It's the parking and stuff.
There's no density. We're not asking for density here.
They need to go from two units to one.
And we've also reduced the bedroom count. Even if they're going to count the dens as bedroom spaces, we've still kept the bedroom count. They want to say the bedroom thing.
I'm not suggesting that's what you do. I'm just asking a question if it can be done. Because if it doesn't get approved, I don't know if it will or won't, but if it doesn't get approved, then what? I mean, you got to go back and take another bite, a third bite of the apple. And it's a suggestion. I'm not saying you should. I don't know what's going to happen, but
I think it can be done. It would just be, it'd be difficult to determine it through zoning because of the size of it.
You're bored.
Well, but the neighbors said they don't want to see any variances at all. So it would still be a half story. And actually, it's funny because most of them said, well, three stories is fine. You just cut that off, then it'd be three stories. So again, they're saying it's three stories, and we have this ground level parking. I think the ground level parking is what makes this a good project.
I think the ground level parking is a good thing. And I think it should remain. And I think it's part of the design, a positive part of the design. I don't want to see that go away. But I would like to see some kind of compromise on what we do.
Steve, before you get off that point, he kind of jumped ahead of me here on things. And I'm not as technical when it comes to building as Dean is, but I've got some real concerns. I like the building. I like the ground floor. I like the fact that there's a commercial use there, because to me the gateway is all about commercial uses. Randazzo's, George's Candies, the gas station, Acme, Wawa. They're out to support the area, especially tourism. And that's kind of what the Gateway Zone was, the conception of it with the master plan and everything, what it was. My concern here is this is not about the commercial unit. It's about the residential. It's about putting a lot of residential in. And I understand that drives the profit train and that drives paying for the project, which is all part of the reason why we included residential in the gateway zone to make things happen. But when I look at, you know, 2 3-bedrooms plus a den, a 4-bedroom, 2 4-bedrooms plus a den, I know a little bit about summer rentals. They're going to be summer rental properties.
You can certainly eliminate the dens. So, as far as removing the walls and getting rid of the space altogether, that's fine. We can certainly remove the dens if that would please the board.
I'm looking at the commercial benefit that we're trying to get in the gateway zone, and the fact that the residential sometimes is a necessary evil. But I'm starting to look at this and go, too much residential. It's more about, I look at this more like a hotel than I do about a gateway use. And when people come in and they start to try to check into all those units with all their cars, with all their guests, in an area where there is no off-street parking, it doesn't exist there. I don't know. Andrew, Avery, I'm having a real tough one with this one. Give you a heads up.
Well, Gary, we tried to get the commercials at the grade level of the last application. I know you weren't there, but just to bring you up to speed, and that was not well received.
I don't care about height.
I'm not talking
and
about
I'll give you more variances.
I'm not talking about height. You're talking about
how many bedrooms in the residential.
Okay, I'm talking about commercial. You said about more about commercial than residential.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
Talking about the commercial, the last application was to try and get more of an Asbury Avenue feel where you have walk-ups. And that just wasn't well received. It wasn't well received by the board. It wasn't well received by the public. And that was the first proposal. That was the vision. So instead of having that, back to the drawing board, it was more about, okay, let's get the commercial elevated. Let's get parking, conforming parking. The only way you're going to get conforming parking is to elevate it. Yeah. I understand the concern with the commercial as far as being upper level. It works. You just have to find the right commercial. That's the only way you're going to get 21 parking spaces on site. 21 parking spaces, a lot.
I also see the gateway as being more than one zone. When you get to the Randazzo's and the Georges and the places, you know, Blitz's Market and places like that, that now the miniature golf courses and all, close to the beach, supporting the summer rental stuff going on, now you start to come back a little bit more. I can easily live with office-type uses there, real estate offices where they work. So I like the first half of the building. I love the fact that you are elevating it for flood. I love the fact you're putting all the parking there. Even though it's maybe not the greatest use to support that area, I like the commercial the way you designed it.
Okay, good.
I just think you're putting too much residential that is going to just for that particular lot to handle.
Last time there was 4 residential units there. This time there's 5. We're more than happy to remove the dens, and we're still reducing what we originally proposed by 5 bedrooms. So you'd have a true 3-bedroom and 2 true 4-bedrooms, and that is it. There'd be absolutely no dens, none of that stuff. We can certainly remove the walls entirely and make them part of the living spaces. Absolutely no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a 10,000 square foot lot. I mean, we're not talking about a small
suggestion.
Yeah.
You could probably get me and make this thing work. I like to say it. I'm not, I don't want to just say, oh yeah, take a bedroom out and everything will be great. Show me this, table your thing if you would. It's your call. But show me that the residential is going to make a good project and not overburden the area, and I'll vote yes for it. I don't have that gut feel right now.
If the dens were to be removed, and what happens is a terrace, a deck, a
well. As you mentioned before, Dean, what would happen is on the first level residential, those dens would actually melt into the living spaces, and then on the top level, so the dens exist, we create ducts there, so we would reduce the second floor size. So that would get closer to what you're talking about with reducing the upper level by a percentage.
For example, there are two dens inserted off the cave, but then there are other two dens on the exterior.
Correct. Those could become the terraces that you mentioned.
Yeah, those are terraces.
Yeah. I would probably melt on the first level residential that into the living space, and then on the second level,
absolutely.
And by the way, you do need a place for the boogie boards and this stuff like that, and the beach chairs.
Please stop. Personally, I like the I like the building style. I like the idea of the parking on the first. I'm a visionary when it comes to the commercial space on the next level up with a 10-foot deck wrapping around it. I can see that as a wonderful boutique restaurant outside eating area, you know, like you see in Europe and you see other places in the United States. It would be conducive to that. And it brings forward the 34th Street corridor the way it should come forward. As far as the stuff up top, if we can eliminate the dens, make a couple of them into verandas, maybe some of them could be cut creatively into some storage areas. And you have an elevator. And I had a woman stay in my bed and breakfast who was 80 years old. And we kept our bikes under the back porch, hung up. She walked into one of those bicycles, grabbed it, had it on the rear wheel, walked it right out to the street, put it down. I was shocked. I'd lived there for 25 years before I saw somebody do that. But she said, New York City, that's how they get bikes in and out of buildings. She said, it's just common knowledge. You can do it in an elevator easily. So if there was, the dens were eliminated, and I could get onto this a lot easier. There is a valid thing on storage. I mean, we've heard in the past, in another large project, where they said, oh, the storage will stay in the cars. That's why people bring big cars. You know, your beach chair, your raft, all your stuff. I couldn't envision that. But, you know, we've heard that. So I guess we're to the point of a motion.
Can we talk
anything?
Since we're all kind of going around.
Yes.
So, I think it's, going back to the last application, certainly it was more of a wall along 34th Street, and this certainly incorporates the gateway feel where it's very pleasing to the eye coming and seeing that building there. Listening to the rest of the board, you know, I think we would all prefer to have a little less residential there just because the neighbor requests and just because of the corner and how the parking is situated. I think that would be more well received, is my opinion. So, I don't think I'll hear what I say.
I agree with that. Some little tweaks tonight. It's a beautiful building. What do you call that style roof again?
Mansard roof.
I love that. I think it's a great idea, and it does make the building look smaller. But as Mr. Gissel mentioned, like, I look at this parking, and I do kind of think of a hotel. I couldn't put a word on it when you mentioned that checking in no hotel. There's a lot going on in that corner. I'm not saying what, you know, I'd like to see something tweaked where, whether it's the elimination of the dens or maybe elimination of a unit. I think, like Mr. Allegretta said, I think it's a really big improvement from the other proposal.
Thank you.
And it's a beautiful building.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Hearing what the board said, I don't think we have, you know, it's not in anybody's best interest to proceed tonight with a vote, especially if there's some changes that Andrew can make to the plan that would make it more appealing to the public and also to the board members. So at this point in time, I don't see any other way around it other than the table and try and tweak the application, take it into account the board members' comments.
I may add one more thing. I have to pile on. But hearing the way you're going to move forward, I think it would be interesting and beneficial to run the calculations on grass block pavers.
1,000 square feet.
As part of a hearing again, which would just give you more benefits to outweigh the detriments.
Absolutely.
And so I would recommend that you look at because there was some public comment about runoff and the concern for that, and that would definitely help that tremendously. That's a good suggestion.
So,
all right. So if you're requesting a table, if you're going to revise these plans, I don't know if I can give you a firm date because I think the professionals will need to review them. If you're going so far as, you know, possibly doing pervious pavers, changing habitable percentage, possibly, you know, whatever. I don't.
That's something we're going to have to decide on our own. And I understand the limitations. If it's something more than that can be shown on an exhibit, then it's going to need to go back for review. So we're going to have to discuss that internally and figure that part of it out. But I do understand that it's not just about the review; it's about potentially the notice and other stuff.
So do you, I'm going to respectfully defer to the solicitor. Do you want to announce a date now, or
I'd like to announce just in case.
We can do February. It would be February 11th. Yeah, that would be a firm date to continue, and then if it's too much, you know, obviously we'd just have to table it indefinitely to go through the procedures.
Now that the continued date for the hearing is February the 11th, the noticing will not be necessary. We'll finish the hearing on the 11th of February.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's no re-noticing.
No, but new plans, so we can turn these out.
I don't know. So Avery, should the board hold these plans?
Yes. Just in case.
So keep your plans.
Same thing for you.
Just in case.
I'll give you. I'll bring an extra set.
Okay. All about saving the truth.
Can I have a motion to adjourn? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.